I've been asked to look with you at Lord's Day 42 this afternoon, which is about the Eighth Commandment, how we manage our possessions, our God-given material goods. We'll read in connection with the Lord's Day 42 from the Gospel of Luke, a couple of portions, Luke 16 and then from Luke 19. Luke 16, verse 1 to 13. The words of our Savior. He also said to his disciples, "There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I've resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.' So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Then we read also from Luke 19, verse 11 to 27. Another parable of Jesus concerning stewardship and how we manage what we have been given. Luke 19, verse 11 to 27. "Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, 'A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, "Do business till I come." But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.' So it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded the servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, 'Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, "Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, "You also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, "Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow." And he said to him, "Out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest?" And he said to those who stood by, "Take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, "Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me." So far from God's Word, then we'll also read the summary of God's Word in Lord's Day 42. Lord's Day 42 is about the eighth commandment, "You shall not steal." And we summarize the meaning of that commandment. What does God forbid in the eighth commandment? God forbids not only outright theft and robbery, but also such wicked schemes and devices as false weights and measures, deceptive merchandising, counterfeit money, and usury. We must not defraud our neighbor in any way, whether by force or by show of right. In addition, God forbids all greed and all abuse or squandering of his gifts. What does God require of you in this commandment? "I must promote my neighbor's good wherever I can and may, deal with him as I would like others to deal with me, and work faithfully so that I may be able to give to those in need." After the preaching of God's Word, we'll sing Psalm 73, verse 8 and 9. Beloved in Christ, do you realize how many possessions you have? Do you have any idea how much stuff belongs to you? It's probably more than you realize. Not just your bank balance and your superannuation, tidy numbers that you can point at and say, "That's what I have," but all your possessions, all your worldly goods. It's a lot. People who shift to a new house will often realize this. If you've got the time, moving can take a while. You slowly pack the boxes and you get everything ready for the big day. You leave out of boxes only whatever is vital. After weeks of packing, room after room, you can finally say, "There, we've put away everything we don't need on a daily basis." And then it's almost embarrassing to see how little we need from day to day and how much we have that is extra. Or maybe you've done an inventory of the contents of your home for the insurance company. You spend hours documenting everything you have, and it's page after page of items, probably, again, more than you would have guessed. So how should we look at our possessions, our money in the bank, our car in the driveway, those many things in our sheds and on our shelves? What's it all for? Today we study the eighth commandment, "You shall not steal." Straightforward. Yet God is concerned here with more than just cheating on your tax return, or concerned more with lifting a few notes from your dad's wallet, perhaps. No, God's will in this commandment relates more generally to all our goods and money and possessions. God looks at these things not just negatively, but positively. And actually, the positive side is much more important. How do we use God's gifts for a good purpose? How do we spend and save and own in a way that honors God? The Lord wants us to be stewards of everything He's given, to treat it rightly and use it wisely. When it comes to our possessions, we're called to submit our lives to God's good law and to the rule of our loving Master. So I preach to you God's Word as summarized in Lord's Day 42. Be a faithful steward of God's gifts to you. And we'll look at stewardship, considering the owner, the stewards, the assignment, and the rewards. It's nothing new that people take a wrong attitude to money and possessions. Sometimes we think of it only as a modern or a Western problem, one that affects only those living in wealthy countries like Australia. But materialism is a sin that is almost as old as the world. Also, during his ministry, our Lord was confronted with greed, theft, the worship of money, even among the people of God and her leaders. And many of the people he spoke to did not have much to their name, yet they still knew about the corrupting power of money. Money is a snare for the rich as well as for the poor. And that's why Jesus often addresses the matter of our possessions. He knew that here is an area that God's people need instruction. To explain God's wisdom for life, Jesus used a teaching tool called a parable. He would portray familiar images and scenes from everyday life, scenes of farming or households or business, and from that he would draw some lesson for life in God's kingdom, a lesson that people could understand and remember. One particular image from ordinary life that Jesus uses is the image of a steward. A steward was a common position in the daily economy at that time. He was an employee who had the job of managing the money and the goods that belonged to someone else. We still talk about stewardship today. Even in secular contexts, people emphasize our stewardship of the natural environment, the air, the water, the land, mineral resources. We have an earth, and we need to care for it and protect it so that we can entrust it to our children. In a real sense, that's very true. It is God's earth given to us for safekeeping. So a steward serves the one who is the owner or the holder of the goods. That's another person that we meet in Jesus' parables, the master, a man of property and resource. For example, the parable in Luke 16 speaks about a certain rich man, a man who owned a large estate and gave his steward control over the things that he possessed. Likewise, we meet an owner in the parable of Luke 19, a nobleman, verse 12, who went to a far country to receive a kingdom. And that man, too, handed out large sums of money to be managed while he was away. So both these men in the parables, they're wealthy, they've got power and influence, and they have servants to command. And beloved, it's not hard to understand who these owners represent. Jesus is teaching us about the kingdom of God. He's telling us about the giver of all good things. He's saying that as individuals, we're not autonomous owners of what we have. We're not free to do whatever we want. No, God the Lord is the owner and master of everything. That's a key teaching in the Bible. He's saying from Psalm 24, which begins this way, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." The earth is the Lord's. And why is this so? Why is it all God's? Psalm 24 tells us, "The earth is the Lord's, for he founded it upon the seas and established it on the waters." It belongs to God because he made it. He has full rights to this universe and all that's contained in it. This means that God can do with it whatever he pleases. That's true still today on the widest imaginable scale, and it's true on the smallest scale. It's as large as the fortune of Bill Gates, and it's as small as the $5 note in your wallet. It all belongs to God. When it comes to our possessions, God can decide to give more, and He can decide to give less. He can build up one person, He can ruin another. As sovereign creator and governor, God needs to answer to no one, and all His ways are good. But whenever God gives out of His riches, those who receive it have to answer to Him. God's will is supreme. God sets the way for us to go. That's why we have the commandments. After all the 10 words of the law, we have the commandments because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. We are His people to command. And so as we look at all the stuff heaped up in the shed and the garage and the storeroom, as we receive our pay for another fortnight, as we drive home from worship in our shiny Toyota, even as we enjoy our evening meal, we humbly acknowledge that God owns it all. Everything that we possess is given by Him. And so it is His, every bit of it. He's the sole owner, while we are simply the stewards. So the stewards. To understand that term, we can think of someone who is a manager. It's probably a more familiar term. A manager is placed in charge of certain duties to diligently carry them out for someone else. For example, you can have a manager at Hungry Jack's. And that's the person responsible to the main boss for the conduct of the other employees, and he's accountable for the good food that they prepare. Or you can have an office manager, someone who takes care that things around the office and in the business go smoothly. It's a helpful comparison, yet a steward is more than a manager. For a steward is given greater responsibility. Managers usually have a job description that is highly detailed. They're given checklists for almost every situation that they'll encounter. But to a steward, the owner will say, "Here, I entrust to you this money, these resources, this property, to use at your discretion. It's not for you to use however you want, because it is still mine. But from day to day, I am giving you the freedom to make decisions about what to do and when to do it." That was the kind of mandate that God gave Adam and Eve in the beginning, to rule and subdue the earth, to be fruitful and increase. There were almost limitless resources, and they had great freedom to use God's creation to His honor. Or think of those two parables we read. The parable of Luke 16, the steward was called to account. And notice how much had been entrusted to his care. Great amounts of inventory, wheat and oil. Likewise, in Luke 19, the nobleman gave to each of his 10 servants a mina, which was equivalent to the wages of several months. So Jesus is saying, God has entrusted to us a share of blessing. We have goods, resources, and money. We all have measures of time and talent and energy. God has given to each of us out of His great wealth, and He's called us to work faithfully as stewards. Now here we realize that God distributes wealth according to His will and wisdom. In the one parable, He gave every servant the same amount, one mina. But usually God gives different amounts to different people. We can see that some stewards among us have received more from God. Others have received less. And when we see these differences, it's tempting for us to say that having plentiful money and fine goods are because of a person's education, their skills, their hard work. Maybe some wealth is just the result of being in the right place at the right time. And such things might have a bit of influence on our present position. But then we also have to remember the biblical truth that every blessing is from God's hand. Everything we have received, given in grace. And so if we've got something in our bank account, if we have some possessions to our name and a position on earth, God then has given to us a responsibility. God gives a freedom to use these things wisely, to make responsible choices about how we spend and save and acquire. Like in many areas of our conduct as God's children, God gives us here a lot of liberty. It's up to us to decide how often we need to buy a new phone. It's up to us to decide whether we should save more for retirement or less, whether we should make a generous donation to Pendari or not. We're free. Free to decide. Yet, in all these things, we must conduct ourselves as working for the Master. When you look at your valued possessions, when you consider your home, when you peruse your investment statements, do you honestly see it as all given to you by God? When you earn your salary at the office or your hourly wage at Subway, do you consider that even these dollars were entrusted to you by God? Do you understand that you need to care for these earthly things to the glory of God and to the good of your neighbor? It's important then to know what God has entrusted to you. Take an inventory to see not how much you have, but to see how much you can do. And don't limit that to your bank accounts and your physical assets. What kind of gifts do you have as a person? What kind of time do you have in your week? What energy and skills and expertise are yours? God has given us all gifts. And with that gift, gives a calling. Maybe you're not highly paid. Maybe in one sense of the word, you don't have much on the inventory list. Yet we have all received. Every one of us has been granted gifts out of God the Father's generosity. We are the Lord's servants, and we've got a job to do. That's our assignment. What is a steward to do? Well, in Luke 19, the wealthy man called his servants together and gave them a pile of cash, and he said, "Do business till I come." That's the key instruction always for a steward. Do business for me. Put my goods to work. The master would be gone a long while, and while he was gone, the stewards had to use that money responsibly. They were not to squander it on pointless projects. They weren't supposed to spend it on themselves or even save it for a rainy day. They were expected to use it wisely, because one day their master would return. And the master was coming back with a kingdom. Jesus says, when he got back, he wanted his servants to have prepared for his rule. They had to be strategic with what they received, to use his gifts with a view to his purpose and his priorities. And beloved, that is still true today. It's still the primary work of being a steward, The Catechism says God forbids all greed and all abuse or squandering of His gifts. God's gifts to you are not for personal hoarding, so that you can have a retirement that lacks nothing. His gifts are not to be wasted because you've accepted the motto that you only live once. God gives not so that we can build our own little kingdom, but so that we can build God's kingdom. Do business till I come, says the Lord. He's away right now, but He's going to return. And until then, God wants us to be busy preparing, using our possessions in the way that the giver desires. Yes, He wants us to have our daily bread, but He also wants us to help the needy in the family of God and among all people. He wants us to spread the gospel in the world, and He wants us to build up the local church. Once you start thinking about it, you realize there's a lot we can do. For example, if you have a home, a house, you can open that home in hospitality to your fellow members. You don't need a spotless home to show hospitality. There doesn't have to be a gourmet meal ready to serve every time, nor does hospitality have to be reserved for the people that you know well already. Have someone over whom you don't know. Many or few, our possessions, like our home and our money and all things, ought to be put to work in the service of the King. Lord's Day 42 says, we are to work faithfully so that we may give to those in need. And we all know that the love of money can be the root of much evil. Beloved, that's how we're used to thinking of money. Money is something almost suspicious. But money, Jesus says, can also be an important tool. Think again of the parable of the shrewd steward in Luke 16. Now, this is a difficult passage, Luke 16. It seems to teach a selfish view of money. In it, you remember, the rich man leaves his steward in charge of all his goods. The steward's accused of dishonesty. Presumably, he had been. The steward knows that he will soon be out of work, and he wants to make preparations for that day, and so he reduces the amounts that were owed to his master. A debt of 800 gallons of olive oil is reduced to 400, and so on. In this way, the steward reckons he can make some friends for himself. These people whom he helped would be willing to help him. And what's troubling for us is that when Jesus tells the parable, he doesn't criticize the steward, but even praises him. Was Jesus saying his dishonesty was okay? Well, he doesn't criticize him because the steward was legally entitled to act in his master's name. Remember, as a steward, he had the freedom to do these things. That's how he could change all those IOUs. The master recognized later that that was a smart move. It helped the steward's future cause. And then what is the surprising lesson? It says Jesus, Luke 16, verse 19, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He says, worldly wealth is not evil. On the contrary, Jesus says it can be used in a good way, even in a way that has eternal value. How could money have eternal value? Well, think of it. The needy whom we help with our gifts, they might come to praise God for our generosity. Or those in distant lands who hear the gospel because of what we give to mission, they might come to confess Christ and live forever. And the children who learn about the scriptures and God's world through our gifts to the school, they might become preachers or teachers of the Bible, or they might raise God-fearing children of their own. These are everlasting returns on our investment. Money might be temporary, but it can produce outcomes that are eternal. That gives us a serious job, so serious that God requires that we all give an account of our work. In Luke 19, the king calls those servants together to see what they've done. One has earned 10 times the amount with his mina. Another gained 5 times more than he started with. Another had done nothing. He was tested as a steward, and he failed. And everything he had was taken from him. Beloved, what will the Master say about the job that we have done? When we're called to account for how we have spent our pay and used our possessions, will God be pleased? Will God see by our choices and our priorities that we were always trying to work for eternal goals? Will he see that all along we were trying to build his kingdom? Or will God see waste in the things that we bought? Will he see discontentment with the things that he gave? Will he see that we were always reluctant to give, even though it all came from him in the first place? Once more, beloved, understand well, it doesn't matter how much we've been given by God. It doesn't matter whether we're employed today or even whether we're bringing in a wage. Whatever our net worth or our earthly position, we are stewards who have received God's gifts. God expects us to do the job of a steward. And if we do, we'll earn his reward. That's our last point, the rewards of stewardship. We hesitate to talk about rewards in God's service. It's all by grace, we confess. God gives salvation freely, without any merit of our own. And all that is very true. Yet, beloved, we know from the Bible that God blesses those who are faithful. One example we can read in Malachi 3, how God urges his people to bring in the whole tithe, the full 10%, the first fruits of their labor. God commands them, in other words, to be good stewards of his blessings. God challenges them, and then he says this, "Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room for it." God is saying there that if we give to him, he will give even more in return. That's what God is like. God is generous to the generous. We reap what we sow. Jesus taught the same lesson, saying that there is a sure reward for faithful stewards. After he calls us to make a good use of our possessions, he says in Luke 16, 10 and 11, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" In short, If we faithfully use what God entrusts today, God will entrust us with even greater things, true riches for eternity. We'll say it again, whatever we receive is by grace through Christ, yet God promises to recognize our sacrifices, to bless our labors. Our deeds will follow us from this life right into the next. This is why Jesus tells us to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. Store up a great and a lasting and a heavenly reward. Store it up for yourself by being a good steward of what God gives you here on earth. Let us dedicate all that we are and all that we have to God's glory and God's kingdom. Beloved, take each one of His gifts and put it to a good and a holy use. Like in the parable, we want to hear the king say to us on that day when he returns, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You remembered who it all belonged to, and you used it all for me. Now enter the joy of your master." Amen.